Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, crowds have come back, or have they? The Hatbox Ghost Tiki Mug is back. Expanded reservations come to Galaxy's Edge.
New food options in Batuu, Tomorrowland construction interest, Marvel e-ticket details, we talk about upcoming Fastpass changes, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of October 16th, 2019. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tag Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show, including Rachel T., who joined this week. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live shows, like if you're a cast member level supporter or above this weekend, we have a exclusive stream for you guys at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central Time. And then right afterwards, we have a public live stream open to everybody, and we'll post links to that in our social media. And that will be at 5:30 Pacific, 7:30 Central. So if you'd like to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Yes. And then just so you know, the public live stream will be on YouTube. So be sure to check back on our social media for the link. Well, does listening to this show make you want to be in the park? I know it makes me want to be in the park. If so, contact James, Mike, and Scott over at Concierge to get your next trip planned. They made our trip truly memorable and hassle-free. If you want that same experience, please head on over to concierge.com and chat with them about what your dream Disney vacation looks like. Maybe you're a Disneyland expert, but want to check out Disney World, Disneyland Paris, Alani, or even a Disney cruise. Even better, they can help you with all of those. Remember that there is no additional cost to book through them, and you get a year of touring plans free when you mention that DL Weekly sent you.
Now let's get to the news.
At New York Comic Con this weekend, Scott Drake, the portfolio creative director at Walt Disney Imagineering, talked a little bit more about the Avengers e-ticket attraction coming to Avengers Campus in Phase 2. The attraction will lead guests into the headquarters and show off armor and technology that is offered by the Avengers. Guests are then loaded into a Quinjet that will start the attraction. Something happens, and the seats the guests are in take them on individual flights to create their own origin stories. Guests will then go to Wakanda, where the individual seats holding the guests will join in on the epic battle taking place. When asked, this ride system was described as something completely unique that nobody has seen before.
I am really intrigued by this. So I saw this today, and I was looking at the concept art, and the concept art looks really cool, because when you get into the Quinjet, like, literally, you're kind of, like, in a row, kind of all together,
yeah,
like you'd be, like, in an airplane.
Seated, like, kind of, like, in the cabin of, you know, yeah,
and
of
then
a Quinjet.
Something happens, and everybody kind of gets split off, and basically, each individual guest that's riding the attraction will kind of go through some type of experience that will kind of, like, turn the guest into an Avenger, basically. And so, that's kind of your origin story. So, my guess would be that, let's say there's, I'm just going to make up a number because they didn't say in the article, but let's say there's like six guests per like Quinjet. Mm-hmm. So there'll be six different experiences, what it sounds like. And like you'll get a different origin story. So it's kind of like when you go on like Indiana Jones and you can get through the different doors, or when you go into the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout and your ride vehicle like goes through, it's different each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but this time
it's individual.
Mm-hmm. And then you come back together after you've kind of become your origin, you know, Avengers story. And then you end up on Wakanda doing this fight, which I don't know how this is going to work. I wonder almost if it's kind of like the technology that they have with the Forbidden Journey attraction at Universal for Harry Potter, that I wonder if you're going to be like on an arm, like your seat's going to be on the end of a robotic arm that kind of moves you around, because the
Maybe.
Concept art kind of looks something like
that. It looks like the seat is flying in one of the end scenes. So we looked at this together right before recording, just looking at the concept art, and Tag's like, so what do you think? And I just I don't even know what to think because I don't know. I can't wait to see what it actually is because even with concept art, I still don't, and the description, I still don't get how they're going to do this and how it's all going to come together. But it sounds pretty exciting.
I will say if they can pull this off, it's going to be really amazing. If the description matches what we end up getting, mm-hmm. I'm thinking that between this and the Rise of the Resistance attraction that's opening soon, I'm thinking that like we're going to see if Disney's actually going to be able to regain kind of the lead of theme park entertainment, because I firmly believe right now that like Universal's doing a lot of really cool things that kind of is one-upping Disney, and they kind of have not done, like, caught up to that yet. I'm hoping that between Rise of the Resistance and this, that it will show that, like, yes, Disney is still the leader in all of this. Well, in a move that has confused and angered some Oogie Boogie Bash ticket holders, additional tickets were released last week for the remaining nights. The tickets were available on the phone only and still sold out very quickly. Scott from Concierge gave a possible explanation for the tickets in our supporter chat this week, saying that it's common practice to hold some tickets for Disney hotel guests in case they weren't aware of the parties, because people book these hotel rooms months and sometimes even a year in advance, so they don't know that there's going to be a Halloween party on a particular night that they're booked. So the hotels hold some tickets. Well, with the lighter hotel occupancy recently, some of the tickets have been like released back into the general ability to be purchased. And that's what he is guessing has happened here.
So if that's the case, I'm mind boggled about this on two different fronts, that there were either were or weren't tickets, but more tickets were somehow released for these previously sold out parties. Mm-hmm. So I do feel a little bad for all the people that did plan ahead, did get their spot and get their tickets and, you know, have been patiently waiting. Sure. Cause it did kind of make it feel like it was a very exclusive event because mm-hmm. there's only so many spots available, you know, you planned ahead, you got your spot, you know, whatever. So it's interesting to me that I mean, if this is true, I guess I never realized that they held tickets aside for these special events for hotel guests specifically. I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting. I kind of thought it was first come, first serve. It didn't matter if you were staying in the Disneyland Hotel or if you were staying at the Howard Johnson or if you were staying, if you're coming from your house, that's a couple miles away. I don't know. You know, so I don't know. I guess that was kind of interesting to me too. So I'm just hoping for the sake of those people that did plan ahead and did get their tickets ahead of time. I know we have a couple of supporters that were a little nervous about this and we're talking about it in the chat. I just hope that the experience is still really great for them. It would be interesting for me to know, and of course they're not going to ever release these numbers to us, but I would love to know how many tickets were available each night originally. Then how many tickets did they just add to it? Because maybe they only added like 25 tickets per day and it's not going to be that big of a change for partygoers, but maybe they added 250 tickets per night. Who knows? I don't know. We'll never know what those numbers actually are, of course, but
I feel like they're probably closer to like the double digit numbers more than like a triple digit number.
I would hope so.
If Scott's like view on this is correct, that I feel like they're not going to hold hundreds of tickets for guests.
Yeah, exactly. If that's truly the case. But if they just decided that they it wasn't filling the park as much as they thought it was, because to be honest, when I went in certain areas, I was very surprised to go over to see Villainous in the World of Color area, and I got a better seat for that than we did when we had the dining package. I was just surprised at I thought there was going to be way more people over there. And so I've kind of been telling people that do have tickets, you kind of have to get out of that normal park day mindset, because same thing with thinking that I needed to have the reserved viewing area for the parade.
Right.
You know, during the day, that's 100% true, because people camp out and they wait for hours and hours to get good spots. Then if you don't wait, you know, if you're not there so long in advance and you don't have a good spot, you might not be able to see it, or, you know, whatever. Same thing with World of Color. You know, if you just kind of happen upon the show, you don't usually get to watch the show because they're already full and the cast members tell you you have to keep moving. So I was kind of in that mindset when I went, but then it dawned on me afterwards, like, oh, hello, there's not the same amount of people in the park right now as there is during a normal day. Mm-hmm. So I just really hope that this doesn't affect anybody's Oogie Boogie party experience.
Yeah. I honestly don't think that it's, because something that some people in our chat thought that it was is kind of like a cash grab, that like, oh, we can make more money if we just release more tickets because it's sold out. I do kind of wish, I wonder actually, if they're going to start doing like they do in Disney World. I'm wondering, because this was so popular, I'm wondering if they're going to creep into earlier September or even late August for these parties.
Do you think
because Magic Kingdom does.
Do you think they do that, or do you think they would just maybe add Thursday nights here and there, or, you know, whatever, add another night?
Hmm. Maybe what they do, maybe they do like a special thing. Maybe they just do a couple nights, like Halloween night would be a good night. And maybe one other night during the season, they just make it like an all night, like a all night event. And then they can let more people in because it's open more hours or something. I don't know.
That could be. The other thing too, that you have to keep in mind is think of what the Halloween party attendance was like just even last year, you know, because it had been in Disneyland for so many years and people kind of knew what to expect.
Sure.
This is brand new land, brand new theme, brand new treat trails, brand new nighttime experience. I mean, new. So it's very, very, very exciting this year. So it'll be interesting to see if next year, if it sells out this quickly and how many years past that it's going to have this much popularity. I mean, I think it was in a great, amazing time. I really enjoyed it. But I can see, you know, if I could see some people maybe feeling, well, you know, I did that last year, so maybe it's not worth for me going again this year. So,
but I feel like everybody who's gone to the party has thought it was wonderful.
It is wonderful.
So I feel like people next year will be like, I want to experience that again.
Yeah. So I'm wondering. So I think these first few years of it being there, I think it's going to be really popular. I think it's going to sell out every year. But I'm just wondering how many, you know, for how long is that going to happen until it kind of
dies. But if they keep plussing it, if they keep adding stuff.
That could be.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Halloween time is in full swing and the crowds have finally returned. At least they did for this weekend. With the combination of Halloween and the 3-day weekend for a lot of guests, it created the perfect storm for a busy park. The park has not been this busy since the week before Star Wars Galaxy's Edge premiered at the end of May. Is this a sign of things getting back to normal? Maybe.
I hope that the park stays busy. I know that like when we went, it was very nice to not have it be busy. And we just had that one day that was really busy that last that Friday. Because again, it was a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So right, a lot of people kind of descended. Mm-hmm. But I really just want the park in the end of the day, I want the park to be successful because I want them to continue to add stuff and invest in the parks. And I feel like if we continue to have lower crowds, it's hard to tell if they're seeing it as, oh, we have lower attendance, that's a bad thing, or all of the things we've done to make attendance lower are working.
That's true.
So it's hard to tell how Disney feels about the lower crowds. Are they happy with it? Are some of the entertainment changes and stuff they're doing not related to that, like people have said? Or is Disney kind of worried that it worked too well? Like they wanted it to work a little bit, but maybe not as bad as it did? It's hard to tell because we don't know what Disney thinks, but I find it interesting that like when people come back to the park and the times that it is busy since Galaxy's Edge, it's interesting when it's been these big holiday weekends kind of, but I don't know. I hope that the park continues to be busy because I want Disneyland to be successful. But at the same time, I also really enjoyed being there when it wasn't busy.
I was going to say at the same time, we always love when it's not busy because then we can get more Disney out of our day because we can get more done.
What do you think made it so busy?
I think it was the holiday weekend because think of the majority of people that do visit the Disneyland Resort. A lot of them are locals. A lot of them are annual pass holders.
Sure.
So if they have a long weekend, great excuse to go to Disneyland.
That's true.
So because it's not like schools. I mean, school's still in session. Yeah. You know, it's not. It's not like school's out. All the kids are off from school.
Right.
So family vacation time. No, I think everybody just was seeing. There was an opening in their schedule to make it work. And honestly, this is kind of, a lot of people are probably feeling like this is one of the last times that they can do so before we get into the full swing of the holidays.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving and Christmas is just around the corner.
Yeah.
Not only is the resort busier, but you know, you personally, your family is usually busier with
so here's
travel
a question.
And all that stuff.
It's always busy for the Christmas holiday. Do you think it's going to be busier than last year, the same as last year, or less busy than last year?
For Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be the same.
Same?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Hatbox Ghost Tiki Mug has returned to the Disneyland and Walt Disney World resorts. This time around, the color scheme is a little different, and the resorts have swapped designs. Disneyland will have the head in the hat box, and Disney World will have the head on his shoulders with an empty hat box. The mugs, if they are still available, are sold at Trader Sam's Grog Grotto in the Polynesian Village Resort in Orlando, and Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar, or at the South Lounge of the Convention Center, at the Disneyland Hotel. A beverage purchase is required to get the mug at Trader Sam's. An ornament and pin matching the mug will also be on sale at Disney's Fantasia shop. Also, I saw today that this is also going to be available on shopdisney.com, the ornament anyway.
From the photos that we've seen that Disney has posted, because of course we have not seen this in person just yet, and we have not seen people post, you know, their own pictures of the mug. It looks like it looks very similar to last year's, but also kind of different. To me, the color definitely does stand out as being different. It kind of looks more, I don't really know how to describe the color. They say that it has like green accents. I don't really see that, but it looks kind of shinier than the ones that we have. Mm-hmm. Ours almost look like
more matte,
roughed up and matte. They kind of are like a bone type color.
Like
I guess
carved out of a bone or something.
Yeah, I guess would be a good way of explaining it. And then like the other parts of it are kind of just like darker tans and browns.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing that I noticed too with the picture that they posted is, I don't know, it looks less detailed a little bit to me. It mm-hmm. doesn't look like it, the carving aspect of it doesn't look the same to me. Ours seem to have a little bit more.
Yeah, it seems like the details stick out more on the one we got last year.
Especially like in the chest and like mm-hmm. torso area, I guess would be a good way of saying it. I don't know though. I think they're very cool. I think it's neat that they're coming back and that they switched it around this time so that Disneyland gets, you know, the reverse of what we had last time.
Yeah.
Personally, I still like it with the hat box empty and his head on his shoulders, which is the mug that we got because one of our listeners was super awesome and sent them to
us.
Well,
she's going again.
She is. I think she's planning her trips around these Tiki mug releases. She really is, and it's just kind of happened that way. I think it's awesome.
Now, I'm not going to say that this is going to happen again, but one thing that our supporter Gretchen said was that last year, there was a huge long line the day that they were released.
Oh, it's crazy. Remember,
and she went back the next day, and there was no line at all.
Yeah,
and they were still in stock.
She totally lucked out because they hadn't sold out yet. So, and that's kind of the way it's, I feel like that's the way it's gone for a lot of things.
Well, you were saying at the Halloween party that like people were waiting in line for merch and you were able to just walk up and get stuff.
Yeah, great example right there. Poor Alex waited like hours literally to get merch. When I went into the store to go try and find him, it was like a madhouse in there. It was just a frenzy. It was like Black Friday, but worse.
Right.
And
Disney Black Friday.
Yeah. And then at 11:55, I walked up to one of the merch carts and bought every piece of merch that I wanted. And the big thing for Alex was he really wanted the Spirit jersey. And it was interesting because I did go in the store that he had waited forever to get into that had all of the merch in it. And the Spirit jerseys there were very, very picked over. And you guys know how I am with my ears. I went in there and was looking. I wanted to get the Oogie Boogie ears. And none of the ears they had in that store were, they didn't look like they were put together very well,
sure.
I guess would be the best way for me to explain it. They just, the quality didn't look that great on them. So I decided to go check out the merch cart, which surprisingly had all the pins I wanted. It had the AP pin, which I figured that would be sold out because it was a really awesome pin. Mm-hmm. They had my ears in stock. They had all the t-shirts. They had the Spirit jerseys, all sizes. I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, you never know.
It's true. I feel like Disney's gotten better at stocking stuff because I remember, was it like the Mickey sipper cup or something last year that like
everyone, the birthday sipper cup?
Or no, even before that, it was the Oogie Boogie thing from last year. The Oogie Boogie popcorn bucket that like sold out and they were having trouble with people buying like a jillion of them. Mm-hmm. And then they were out of stock for like half the season last year, if I remember right. And then they got them back in. So I feel like Disney's gotten better because even with the birthday sipper, they ended up having more of those later on and it was fine. So I feel like they've gotten better at their merchandise, like ordering enough. Mm-hmm. It seems like, I mean, they don't want to order so much because they do want some type of demand for it.
Well, and you also don't want to have too much of it and then have like with the Oogie Boogie Bash merchandise. What do you do after the Oogie Boogie Bash?
That's true.
A lot of those things are dated. So mm-hmm. it's not like you can sell mm-hmm. it again next year. You know, you kind of have to, it's a good balancing act. I'm sure that those merchandise people have to try and do. I don't know why, but I'm oddly excited about the fact that they have a pin to go with a tiki mug
this year
and that they also have the Christmas ornament to go with it. The pin looks very nice.
Yeah, I love me some pins. The pin does look very nice.
Starting on October 21st, reservations can be made up to 60 days in advance for Oga's Cantina, Droid Depot, and Savvy's Workshop. Previously, the reservation window was limited to 14 days in advance. Reservations still require a credit card and brings these locations in line with the other reservation requirements around the resort. It was only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really only a matter of time. I am surprised that the Droid Depot still has reservations. Because
every time we walked in there, there was nobody waiting.
And to me, the whole setup of it was not really like a like you would really need a reservations. It looked like they kind of designed that experience to be, I don't know. We didn't do it ourselves, but it doesn't seem like it's as intense of an experience or as time consuming as an experience.
It's just like a store that you just walk up to the counter and build your droid.
Yeah. So, and there's lots of like many Sobeys stations where there's got, this like, whole presentation and all this. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, you know, the cantina where you then have to wait for your drink and there's only limited seating and all that. So I'm kind of surprised that the Droid Depot is on here too, but hey, the more the merrier.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what goes on with this, like Savvy's Workshop, because when I went in to build mine, there was only like half the room full, like when I went in. So like all, you know, all the people who wanted to build a lightsaber kind of came in probably when the land opened, and then through the rest of summer, it was just the few people at a time.
Well, the other thing too is how long, I think we talked about this before, but how long is Savvy's going to be popular? Because you've built your lightsaber.
Yep.
Is there ever really a reason for you to have to go back to Savvy's Workshop?
I gotta go in when producer James wants his lightsaber.
That's not the same thing, because you're going with somebody, but there's no reason for you as an individual.
I would honestly say, and I know that I'm an outlier because I don't think that this is typical, but I think like if I had, and actually no, because I was just gonna say that. Like one of the things that really intrigues me, if I had the extra money, I would maybe get like the Darth Maul lightsaber, because I like the idea of like the double ended blade thing. Mm-hmm. But you don't build that. That's just one of the things you buy in the store. So mm-hmm. I guess you're right. There really is no reason to go back in, because the only thing you do differently is you put in a different crystal color, and you buy that the crystals in the shop. So it's not like you have to go through the whole experience again. And I can't imagine that you're gonna want to build a whole different looking lightsaber for the price. Yeah, you're right. There's no reason to ever go back in. So it is kind of a one-time experience.
So I don't know. I'm kind of wondering what the longevity of Savvy's is. Maybe there's a plan.
It makes me sad, though, because that is an amazing experience.
It is very cool. And obviously a lot of thought and detail went into that experience. So it is sad that it's not really repeatable.
You know what they could do with it? That would be kind of interesting, is they could take, like, let's say two or three or four of the time frames that you would go in to build a lightsaber, and if they do bring back entertainment, like, into the land, if they bring entertainment into the land, like, they bring back, like, the Jedi Training Academy, maybe you bring the little kids in there, and they get to use parts that, like, everybody else has been using, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then when they get to go out and play lightsaber battle with everybody, they could play with the lightsabers they built, but then at the end of the experience, they like turn it back in.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do now is they have the toy ones. Yep. Yeah.
Even just use that space for something Jedi Academy.
You do bring up a good point, though, that I had not thought about.
Really? You hadn't thought about that?
No. What do you guys think? Send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net. What do you think is going to happen with Savvy's after everybody's kind of done what they need to do?
Everyone's built their lightsabers.
Well, starting today, there are even more food options in Batuu. Oga's gains a new charcuterie plate called the Hapabore Sampler. Docky Bay 7 Food and Cargo has a new garden patty bun kids meal that includes a bao bun, roasted carrots, house sauce, and an orange. Ronto's Roasters has a new Ronto-less garden wrap that includes a plant-based sausage, spicy kimchi slaw, sweet pickled cucumber, and a gochujang spread on a pita. Chiral pork rinds, which are served with cinnamon sugar, also join the menu. Kat Sokka's kettle will have chocolate popcorn with Krayt red salt from the salt planet of Krayt from The Last Jedi. I will say that kids' meal actually sounds kind of good.
It sounds way better. So we were looking at the photos, of course, because it's food. Of course, there's photos of what the stuff's going to look like. The photo of the kids' meal does not look as appetizing as
it sounds.
I am really excited that they have a couple vegetarian options now because we've got the kids' meal that is a garden patty with the bao bun.
Well, and it's healthier. Course, it's got carrots and an orange. Like, that's cool.
Yep. And then, of course, the plant-based Ronto-less garden wrap.
That actually does look good.
That sounds very good to me, too. I'm a little iffy about the cinnamon sugar pork rinds. I'm a little iffy about pork rinds in general.
Well, we were talking before the show. I said I feel like they might end up being like a cinnamon twist that you get at Taco Bell.
Probably, but I'm just pork rinds. I just can't get over knowing what a pork rind is. okay. So that part's a little difficult for me, but I am oddly excited about the popcorn because I want to see the red
salt.
This
is funny because
I'm very excited about the red salt.
This is the thing I'm like least excited about.
I don't know why, but yeah, I'm very excited about seeing the red salt. Hmm. And who doesn't like a good sweet and salty combo?
Now, I know you and I disagreed on this.
This is it. There are things on. Go ahead.
The charcuterie plate, like some of the meats on there look pretty good, but there is one thing like up in the corner that looks like a really bad piece of spam.
Yeah. So he's like, what do you think? I think this looks great. And I just can't stop focusing on that one piece of whatever that is. but the rest of it does look good. I would try it for sure. And I'm glad that Oga's is getting a little bit more food because when we were there, you know, it does take a little bit to get your order in and then to get the drinks. Then you're sitting there
relaxing.
Was
the only food that like weird cracker thing that we got?
Yes. Yep. There was the, when we were there, they only had the Oga's Obsession, which was the thing that looked like it was in a Petri dish. Yep. And it was kind of like Jell-O with popping pearls.
Oh, so good though.
Very good though. And then they had the Batu Bites, which was a, I don't know, kind of like a crispy snack mix, but it was all sorts of different things. There was
too many spicy things.
Some things that were sweet, some things that were spicy, some things that were kind of like peppered. I don't really know. It was kind of just this hodgepodge of different snacks. So I'm glad that they've got something else. And this is a little bit more substantial than the little snacking foods that they had before.
I'm very sad that I missed out on buying something at Docking Bay 7 because we didn't even go into Docking Bay 7. And you actually had something at Ronto Wraps, which I had a Ronto Wrap. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is that when I was doing my lightsaber building or something? I had run off to do something else because I came back and you and Vern were finishing it.
You were very tunnel visioned about something and we were hungry, so we ate.
Yeah. Well, that sounds about right.
As we reported previously, the mountains around parts of Toontown have now come down, exposing some of the backstage buildings to the skyline of the Toon-filled land. From ground level, the land doesn't look too different, but a little higher up gives backstage views. The removal of the hills is to accommodate the construction for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
It was funny.
It looks so weird without the mountains.
See, that's the funny thing to me is I looked at the picture and I didn't even notice that the mountains were gone.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I noticed it right away.
No, the only reason was because the first thing I saw was somebody had posted a picture of like up in like Goofy's bounce house or something. And like, I was like, oh, wow, you can really see all the backstage buildings. And I realized that was from up.
Yeah.
If you're just in the land, yeah, you really can't tell.
Yeah, if you're on the ground level, you can't tell. But then, yeah, when you're higher up, it is interesting though because it looks different, but it's not super obvious why it looks different because the buildings behind it are kind of a sky blue and kind of that same almost green color that the mountains were.
Yeah.
So it's not blatantly obvious. It's not like it's this big glooming.
I'm hoping that when they put the mountains back after they've done their construction, I hope that they find. I don't know how, but I hope that they find something so they don't have to so the upkeep will be a lot easier.
Yeah.
That's always a complaint is they paint them and they look good for less than a year a lot of times and then they look bad again. So I'm wondering if maybe even they take something, maybe what they make the mountains out of, maybe if they make it if they dye whatever they make it out of that color. So you know what I mean? I mean, I guess it would still fade, but. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't really notice the difference.
Kind of like maybe in the coral reef like they did with Nemo. It's like...
Oh, the glass stuff?
The glass. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It would look like the hills were alive with the sound of Mickey and Minnie.
That's staying in the podcast.
The slow look of disapproval and dunk. I wish that would make a noise.
Wow. Well, a couple of construction projects have been on the radar of some guests, vloggers, and others recently in Tomorrowland. As of this recording, the projects include a new guest staircase leading from the ground level to the elevated queue deck at Space Mountain, the refurbishment or replacement of the decorative wall panels as you enter Tomorrowland on either Astro Blasters or Star Tours, and finally, Fast Pass kiosks that we will discuss later in the show.
I'm loving that Tomorrowland's getting some TLC.
You know what
it
worries
me? Hopeful.
Yeah, but you know what worries me? If they're doing these little things now, does that mean
don't
that there's not
it.
A big thing?
I don't know. I'm hoping that it's all vamping up to a Tomorrowland revamp.
I heard rumors that the reason that some of these decorative wall panels are being taken down and done something with is that they've already taken the people mover track out of the inside of the buildings.
Oh.
And so they're going to have to close it off.
Closing off the building.
And then the actual exterior track will be taken down.
I just, if, you know, it's going to happen. We don't know when, but it's going to happen.
I wish it would just happen. Just rip the Band-Aid off, Disney.
But
just rip the Band-Aid off.
Think about it, though. Think about it. If you're Disney, that is a bit, that's a huge project that you have to do, because you 100% have to shut down that whole land.
Well, you'd have to do it in segments. So you'd probably shut down, you'd probably have to do a lot of it at night.
Yeah. And then it's a big project. Yeah. I'm sure it's a, just, I don't envy the people that have to try and figure out all the logistics of that.
Well, think about how long it's
going on with that.
Think of how long it's taking just to get rid of the French fry rocks.
That's true.
It's taking a really long time. But I think there's doing some other things
there
with
is.
That.
There's something else going on there for sure.
What do you think about the staircase?
The staircase makes a lot of sense to me, because the more, so when I've been kind of following this story, mostly through like Fresh Baked. At first I couldn't even try and wrap my head around what they could, who knows what sure. they're doing. You never know. It could look like it's a planter removal, but maybe it's really this or that, or who knows. And then now it looks very much like a staircase or a slide. One can hope. But you know, it makes sense though. 'Cause think about it. When you're up on that second deck, it's probably like an emergency, maybe like an exit thing or an emergency exit thing for the Space Mountain queue. Because if you're up on the deck waiting in the queue, mm-hmm. and say something were to happen, there mm-hmm. was a fire in the building or, you know, whatever, where do you go? Do you just turn around and go back mm-hmm. out of the queue? I mean, I guess I haven't stood there and made sure I knew where all of my exits were when I was waiting up there. But that was my first thought, was it would make sense for another exit.
We'll talk about this a little bit later with the FastPass thing, but if the rumors of the FastPass stuff is true, they might even do something different where that's not where you go into Space Mountain now, because you have to walk really far back.
You do, yeah.
So if they could reclaim that space, they could expand the Pizza Port, or they could get rid of Pizza Port and put in a different attraction or something there if they're doing something with Tomorrowland. So I think that, and again, we'll get into this when we talk later about the FastPass stuff, but I think that really they're trying to free up a lot of space to do different things with. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what any of those things are, but I'm fascinated by it.
See, I'm hopeful. Well, flying to Disneyland could be a little more magical with the help of Toy Story and Pixar Pier. Alaska Airlines has debuted their new plane wrap featuring the characters and themed area of DCA. The new plane is dubbed Friendship and Beyond at the Disneyland Resort. Buzz, Woody, Jessie, the Luxo Ball, and the Pixar Pier marquee all appear on the design. Guests that get the chance to fly aboard may receive a Disneyland Resort Activity Fun Book and Kids' Choice Picnic Pack. I wish we had Alaska Airlines here in the Midwest, because I would love to fly on this plane.
Well, and I think that this plane is literally, I could not find anywhere, like where, like it obviously ends at either LAX or John yes, Wayne yes, to like go to Disneyland.
Yep,
but like,
Disneyland,
I don't know where
it starts,
where
from.
It goes or comes from, because they're saying that
it's
if you fly
so
it, you
cool.
could get this fun book and this picnic pack. And I have to wonder, if you fly, is this picnic pack something that you have to pay extra for? Because I know, like, a lot of times in the airplanes, you know, they charge you extra for these things.
Yeah.
Or is this something that's just like, instead of your, like, peanuts or cookie, this is what you get?
I don't know. It's a kid's choice picnic pack, though, so maybe it's just for
kids. It's for kids, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
know.
It's interesting. What do you feel about these kind of wraps? Do you feel like...
I think they're fun.
I think they're fun, too, because they did a Star Wars
one.
I
think they're fun.
I just don't know. I mean, I guess they're like a billboard, right?
I don't know why. I get excited. I don't even know what it was. I get excited even when it's like a Hawaii themed plane or like an Alaska themed plane, or I've seen like New Zealand themed plane. Yeah, yeah. They're just more exciting to look
sure.
at than just plain colored planes.
Well, speaking of exciting to look at, this week, Dancing with the Stars visited Disneyland. Monday night's show featured an opening dance number on Main Street and in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle. Throughout the show, celebrities and their professional dance partners will be talking about their dance numbers while enjoying different areas of the park. The theme for this week was, of course, Disney Night.
So this is like the one and only time I watch reality TV is whenever they do Disney Night. So
sure.
Dancing with the Stars does Disney Night, and then usually... there's a singing competition. I think it's American Idol also mm-hmm, does mm-hmm. Disney Night. And
we
those are usually the only times I actually tune into any of these shows.
So,
because I love them.
This is kind of off topic, but there is a UK version of Dancing with the Stars called Strictly Come Dancing. And I think mm-hmm. they actually started before Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Literally same format, everything.
Sure.
They had Movie Week week before last, and their results show their like opening dance number was all like Disney Pixar movies. Oh, and that was really cool. Yeah. So I need to go watch this Dancing with the Stars because I love seeing what Disneyland. I have a feeling it's going to be like most things, though, where they just do a couple little things at Disneyland and the whole rest of the show is like in their studio. Because it's just this opening dance number. And then I think when they cut to the packages of like, this week we're dancing the cha-cha.
Yeah. Well, most of you probably don't even have your Halloween treats yet. But Disneyland is already talking about their Christmas treats. This year, the Crispy Snowman will be a new addition to the holiday offerings and will feature candy buttons, orange chocolate, sugar, and red and white sanding sugar, churro toffee, snowman cake pops, snowflake cake pops, Mrs. Claus apple mini or cake pop, peppermint bark, peppermint marshmallow wands, and more will all be available this year. Of course, the ever-popular candy canes will also be back at Trolley Treats and Candy Palace. Dates for those have not yet been announced.
But we will definitely tell you about them when they have, because I know this is a big deal for some people.
It's a big deal for me, and I've never even done it. I just get so excited about this. This is 100% Disney bucket list item.
You know what
for
this
me.
Makes me think? I wonder if Richard has had a candy cane yet. There were so many different things. Like, there was this whole list. I started listing them, and I'm like, oh, this page is really long with all these treats.
Tons of treats.
Just like Halloween, right? Like, they have all these different treats. It's just themed to Christmas. I don't know.
I think it's funny that churro toffee is considered a holiday Christmas treat. Because
it was there when we were there.
Yep, we definitely bought some when we were there. It's just a good treat all around. Toffee, I guess, would be technically more of a, you know, it is more of a Christmas holiday time treat.
I mean, it is good.
100% we tell everybody that you need to try this churro toffee because it's great. I want to know what people think about the candy canes. I want to know if any weekly tiers have gotten one of the oh so popular candy canes, either at Trolley Treats or at the Candy Palace, because they're like one of the most coveted treats ever, I feel. They have like tickets that they only let so many people get them, and you know, all that.
Are you a candy cane fan in general?
Yes, I would say so.
Because, like, I don't go out of my way for them, but, like, if somebody gives me one,
I enjoy candy canes.
Yeah.
I think, but I guess to me, the fact that it's, like, you know,
they're
homemade,
huge.
Handmade candy cane versus just
what
you get at the store, mass-produced thing.
Yeah.
They are very large, so I would definitely need to share it with some friends.
Well, speaking of Christmas traditions around the resort, the tradition of the candlelight processional at Disneyland has dates for this year. The Orange County Register is reporting that Saturday, December 7th and Sunday, December 8th are the dates for the 2019 season. In previous years, the professional started at 5:20 and 7:35 each of the nights. As we hear more about this year's event, we will let you know. I know they stopped doing tickets for this. A lot of it's invite only. But if you are in the parks on these nights, you can. There is some standing room that you can get in, but I think you really have to try hard to get that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this is one of the big events of the year for sure. I wonder who is going to be their special guest host this year.
It has not been announced, but it always is somebody good. Mm-hmm. Like, did we report, was that last year that we had Chris Pratt?
Yes, yeah. It was. Well, our friends over at Fresh Bake on YouTube have reported a rumor that the Matterhorn may be needing far more work than what was originally thought. Now, keep in mind that this is just a rumor, but it is worth noting that the interior of the mountain is constructed with a lot of wood that could need to be replaced. It's not clear what this means for the beloved attraction. Could it be refurbished with better materials? Or could it need an entire rebuild? If so, do you think Disney would do that? I think they'd have to. I really think they would have to. I cannot imagine the Matterhorn just not being there. It can't be.
So
end of story.
So I feel like this. I feel the same way. Like when people talk about like the monorail, right? Like I feel like when you think of Disneyland, one of the iconic things about the park is like the monorail, right, and the castle. And the Matterhorn, like all of the mountain ranges, let's just be honest. And so I feel like I wonder what they're going to do. Because if there is a lot, and you brought up a good point, the area where this picture was taken, kind of where the wood rot was by a waterfall. So it's probably in worse shape there than somewhere else. However, I'm wondering if it is bad throughout the whole thing, like what's the plan? Are they going to try to retrofit it with what's there? And that could be really kind of costly and difficult because they're trying to work with existing infrastructure, or are they going to tear it down and start fresh?
I think, in my opinion, if they had to tear it down, I don't think it would come back up. I don't think to completely tear it down to the ground, I don't think that they would bring it back, which makes me very, very sad.
The only reason I think that they might, go with me here. So one thing that they constantly do with the Matterhorn is they're constantly refurbishing the track because it's old and like whatever. A few years ago for the 50th anniversary, they tore out the entire inside of Space Mountain and rebuilt the whole track. So I'm wondering if maybe they do something like that.
But with the mountain itself, or are you saying the track?
With the mountain.
Yeah, I think if...
And use the opportunity to replace the track with something that's a little more durable that they don't have to maintain as much.
Yeah, I think what they're going to have to do is the only thing I can think that they would do, which would just be basically, you know, take the skeleton of the mountain and replace the skeleton with metal instead of wood, or, you know, whatever is better than wood. You know, because remember, this attraction did just celebrate its 60th anniversary this year. So this mountain has been through a lot.
But
so,
how
and
do
even
you
if they just
maintain
replace,
that?
Maintain them.
Well, no. How do you maintain the facade of the mountain that is parts of it are held with wood and replace it with metal?
Maybe reinforce it. I don't know. I don't know. But I think that they'd have to kind of, they wouldn't be able to tear the mountain down to the ground.
Do you think
unless they did it in sections, unless they did, you know, this chunk of the mountain will take off and, you know, kind of work their way around, which would be a very lengthy process. And I'm sure that this is going to be a very costly thing, but, you know, it has to be done because if there's parts of it falling off, you know, obviously we can't have that.
I'm hoping
that's
you're right.
Good.
I'm hoping that there was maybe like a water leak in this section and this section
that's
is
what
bad.
I'm hoping, yeah. Because it is right near where there was one of the biggest waterfalls that was on it. So I'm hoping it has something to do with that water feature and it's not the entire mountain.
Yeah.
Because that would just be, it's very sad to even think that the mountain maybe won't be there. I can't see them doing that though.
Yeah. I just feel like it depends on how complicated it is, right? And how much money it would cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with some Disney trivia. He's going to read us the questions. We're going to try and answer them. And then James will give us the correct answers after the discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, James?
I feel like it has to be better / easier than what Vern had for us last week.
I don't know.
Oh, you can't blame me.
Hold your breath.
You can only blame the listeners this week, so it's not a problem.
Oh, blame it on the listeners.
Yeah, it's much easier that way.
Okay.
All right, so our first question comes from Tara F., and she wants to know, what DreamWorks movie includes a pretty clear parody of the It's a Small World song?
What DreamWorks
movie? Oh! I'll let you go first. That's what I was going to say.
I think it's Shrek.
All right.
Because Shrek, like, parodied, like, everything.
What, do you remember what the song is?
No, what was it? I guess we'll wait till later. Yeah.
Just make me sing it later.
Do-lock-is. With all the little puppets? When they go...
I can't remember.
You need to watch
Shrek
again. I haven't
seen Shrek in a long time.
We clearly need to watch that again.
It's when they go into the whatever, when Shrek and Donkey go into the town and then they have that little, like, thing... I don't even know.
You mean
know.
The town called Duloc that you were just singing about?
Yeah. When they go into the town of Duloc, and then it's, I don't know if they had to like put a coin in it, but it's like a machine.
Yeah, okay.
It like comes up and,
All right.
And has all these little dolls.
It's like it's a small
shine
world.
Your shoes, wipe your face.
Question number two is inspired by Brittany R., formerly Brittany D. Congratulations on getting married.
Oh, congratulations.
So under the Disneyland castle, there's a container with Disneyland memories, messages, and milestones. What is this thing officially called according to the plaque?
It's the time castle.
I was going to say, oh, yes, it is.
Because I think
castle.
We talked about this before. I think when we talked about Sleeping Beauty Castle, we talked about the time castle. Because it's right under the seal in the front, like
All right, third question.
I feel really good. After last week, did you hear
this
last week?
You're going to fall on your face now that you said that.
Yeah, thanks, listeners. All right, our third question comes from Megan E., and she wants to know, what is the phone number for the cabs in Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue?
Ooh, something roar.
She did provide, she did provide a hint, but you're already figuring that phone out.
Something roar.
Something roar. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have even got that part, so.
Roar. Yeah, it's something roar.
I wouldn't have even got that far, so moving on.
Oh, I guess you jinxed yourself. All right, question number four comes from Sarah M., and Sarah wants to know, on Pirates of the Caribbean...
Oh, Richard's favorite ride.
Where's the banjo music coming from?
The creepy guy.
It's coming from the banjo guy.
Does she mean like where the speaker is located?
No. Where's the banjo music coming from?
The creepy guy in the bayou.
Yeah. The guy, there's like a name for him. He's on his little rocking chair.
Mm-hmm. I know I've shared this before, but I'm still very creeped out that we went and he was still rocking when...
With
no music. He was still rocking, no music, and the ride was down, had been down for refurbishment for weeks at that point, and he was still going. he's creepy.
Do you know what he's playing?
Creepy banjo music.
He's playing Oh Susanna, isn't he?
I don't know,
because
he
does it very slowly, so I guess I don't know. But and I also try not to look at him because he just creeps me out. But why is it there's no lighting on him, which makes him even creepier?
Because
he's, like,
it's, there's no light
in
the banjo.
Shadow.
You can't ruin the mood of the Blue Bayou.
But why can't he have like a porch light or something?
I mean, he could have like, I guess, like a candle lit thing, I guess. Because it's supposed to be creepy.
He is creepy.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for you two to realize what stumped you. We'll come back to trivia after this week's discussion topic.
All right, so for our discussion topic this week, we actually were going to talk about this last week, and we didn't because we got so excited about Haunted Mansion Holiday, we forgot about it, but there was some...
Who would have ever thought?
Yeah, there was some rumors, and now they're kind of a little more solidified, but still kind of rumors about changes coming to the FastPass system at Disneyland. So some background here. So what, like on the face of it, what's changing, like potentially?
So... It's just a little change right now, but basically, right now you have two options if you want to use a FastPass. You can either go to one of the kiosks located around the resort, and you have to go specifically to the Matterhorn kiosk or specifically to the Space Mountain one, or, you know, you have to go to specific places if you want a FastPass. So if you're, say, in Adventureland and decide that you want to get a FastPass for, let's say, Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin, you have to hike all the way over to where that one
attraction is, where the kiosks are.
Yeah, where that one kiosk is located. You know, so it's really not that convenient. Honestly, I forgot how inconvenient it was since the last couple of times I went to the resort last year for Pixar Fest. We did do MaxPass one day, but then the other 2 days we didn't have heavy crowds, so we didn't really have to utilize FastPass. The couple times we did pull FastPasses from the machine, we either never use them because we actually got in the attraction with a shorter wait time just because the standby line wasn't that bad, or, you know, whatever. We didn't have to heavily utilize them. The D23 trip that Tag and I took together, we splurged and got Max Pass. So we were able to do everything from the phone. And since then, I've forgotten how inconvenient going to a Fast Pass kiosk really is, and how it kind of, you have to like really, not only do you have to plan ahead with fast passes, but you really have to plan ahead if you're having to get your fast pass from the kiosk. And sure. I forgot, and I'm sure you forgot too, because you just, I can do it from a phone. Zip, zip, done. You kind of forget about having to go to a kiosk.
Yeah. This time, that trip that we went on in August, like we didn't actually go to any physical kiosk.
No, we never had to, because we could just do it on our phone. So half the time we were making fast pass reservations while we were standing in line for a different attraction. So super,
or walking to something.
Super convenient. And the nice thing too, is you could somewhat plan ahead, and you could, you know, it was very easy to kind of plan your day out by using the app and using MaxPass. However, now they're proposing, and we think this is going to be going resort-wide, but for now it's just in Tomorrowland, they are taking out some of the paper FastPass kiosks, and they're actually making touchscreen centralized FastPass kiosks over in Tomorrowland specifically. They're kind of, I think they're testing the waters. I really do think that this is probably going to be resort-wide.
Now, what this reminds me of is when I went to Disney World a few years ago, they had on the app, like we have MaxPass, but it's just part of the Magic Band system over there. You can do all your stuff from your phone. Not everybody has a smartphone, right?
Yeah.
So they had these kiosks in certain areas. The one I remember, because we actually tried to use it, was in Epcot. There was an area over by Epcot where you'd go, and they had a little kiosk thing, and they had a cast member there. And basically, you could select anything in Epcot and tap it and try to get a fast pass for it, because it would be instead of using your smartphone, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So looking at these, it kind of seems like it's going to be a similar thing. The kiosks themselves actually look pretty good. They're a touchscreen. They're pretty small. They're even, I think they're a little bit smaller, like, space-wise than the ones that dispense the paper tickets.
I think so, too.
And then the other thing that they have about it that I thought was super cool was right below where you would stick your park admission ticket or your phone or something. Mm-hmm. They actually, in case the touchscreen doesn't work, or probably also for accessibility things, like mm-hmm. people maybe who have vision problems, they have these physical buttons that you can select things, and there's a little headphone jack and stuff, so it helps.
Yeah, the
biggest difference here is even though you're going to a kiosk, it will not give you a paper return time.
No paper tickets, so everything will just be linked to your ticket, which I also forgot about this. You use MaxPass for a couple trips and suddenly I forget all about how the paper fast passes work. I totally forgot that you still needed your ticket mm-hmm. and not just the only thing that the piece of paper is it's basically a reminder of what your return time is. It's not your quote unquote fast pass to get into, you know, to get onto the attraction, to get into the fast pass line. It's solely a reminder. Really, they're just doing away with that physical paper reminder. So I bet if you have the app, I'm sure that this will now have what your return times are now down in the app. If you don't have the app or you don't have a smartphone, it would be a little difficult to try and remember, I had a fast pass for this time and this time, you know, whatever. I could see how that would maybe get a little cumbersome. Maybe there's going to be something where it doesn't print like the ticket per se, you know, where it prints up, it looks like a ticket. Mm-hmm. Maybe it prints like on a receipt paper or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, something that's more universal. Because right now, each kiosk you go to and each fast pass return time ticket thing that you get from a fast pass kiosk is themed for that attraction, which is really cool for it's really cool. I actually saved the last time that I did hardcore use fast passes and have to go to the ticket kiosks. I did save a lot of those just because they are cool. It is a neat little souvenir.
One thing,
but I mean, think of how many times they probably are having to replace the paper and all the different types of paper that they're having to order to keep these machines going, you know.
I was part of the problem. So when I first started using FastPass a few years ago, if you would stick your ticket in and you'd get a FastPass return time, if you stuck your ticket in again, it would print another ticket that said, like, not valid, you have to wait till this time. Mm-hmm. I would purposely do that because that's the one I would keep. Because when you hand in, when you show them your FastPass ticket, the cast member takes it from you when you get into the attraction.
I've never had them take it from
you. Oh, yeah.
Me. Maybe it was you. Maybe you just looked a little fast pass shifty.
Used to take them all, and they had like a little thing they'd drop them into. Because then what's to say that you couldn't just come back in line for return time?
Oh, so you did used to have to use the physical ticket.
They didn't scan them or anything. Yeah, you'd hand it to them before there was MaxPass.
You did used to have to use the physical ticket. So mm-hmm. I wasn't crazy this last trip when I was with my family and got confused that they had to scan their actual ticket and not the fast pass.
So I used to keep them because I wanted one of every of the different things because it's like the attraction logo mm-hmm. on it, and I thought they were cool. So if you think about that, especially with now you look at Disney, what they've been doing with all of their efforts for, you know, we're doing paper straws and we're trying to get rid of a lot of, you know, environmentally safe
poor
things.
Sweepers that are probably cleaning up mm-hmm. these fast pass return tickets all over the place.
Well, think of how wasteful
it is. They fall out of pockets or, you know, whatever.
You print one, right? And then, like, if you, like, back in the day when you did give it to a cast member and they'd throw it away, like, you'd have it for what, a couple hours, then it would get thrown away. So, like, it's not mm-hmm. even, like, worth the time that it was there.
It is a lot of waste. The other thing, too, to think about also is, so with these kind of proposed centralized spaces, so basically how it's working now is, because it did start on the 15th, they are just testing it right now again in front of the Tomorrowland Theater. But basically, the attractions that these kiosks will let you get fast passes for right now are all Tomorrowland attractions. You can get it for either Space Mountain Star Tours or Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters. So just think of it this way. So Star Tours and the Astro Blasters kind of share a fast pass kiosk area right now. Space Mountain has their own separate thing that's kind of up, actually kind of back where like the standby and fast pass return lines start.
Way in the back.
Yep, way in the back. So that one really, that's kind of a pain to, you're going basically to the line to then get back out of the line and come back later. But anyways, just think of, I mean, it's not a lot of space, but again, we're landlocked. It's Disneyland. We don't have land that we can spread out into. Yep. Think of what they could do with all of these spaces, you know, even if it's just maybe some shaded bench areas, yep, or stroller parking, or
another food location,
yeah, outdoor food location, or a merchandise cart, something. Yeah. You know, this is space that they could be utilizing for other things. We cut back on planter sizes last year because we wanted to make sure that our walkways are going to be wide enough to accommodate higher crowd levels and to make the flow of the park just go nicer. So this is really huge. If you think about all of the FastPass kiosks that are in the resort now, mm-hmm, that potentially won't be there if they do decide to switch the entire resort to the system, which I can't see why they wouldn't. I really don't. Do you think that, so this is all just going to be us kind of bouncing ideas off each other, but how do you think this is going to look if this is Disneyland wide, we'll say for now. So right now they have one bank of these kiosks in Tomorrowland specifically for Tomorrowland attractions. Do you think that's going to be, there's going to be a bank in Adventureland specifically for Adventureland, one in New Orleans and Critter Country specifically for those areas? Do you think there's going to be banks in each land that are just specific to that land? Or do you think they're going to make it so that these kiosks are just FastPass kiosks, period, and I could be in Tomorrowland using this kiosk and getting a FastPass for, say, Splash Mountain?
I think what they'll do is, I think with this test program, I think they will look and see the utilization, and of course they have data, right? And mm-hmm, they can tell if you're getting one from a kiosk versus your phone or whatever. So I'm interested to see if what they do in the end is maybe they do, like I said, in Epcot, where maybe to save room, they literally just will have one spot, because maybe 5% of all guests actually use the kiosk. So you don't need them everywhere, because if only 5% of the people are using it and the 95% are using their phone, you don't need them everywhere.
But the only way to use your phone right now is if you purchase MaxPass.
Right. But I'm wondering, so then what's the benefit of MaxPass if you could just walk anywhere in the land and get a thing?
Convenience. Remember, we were getting our fast passes, sure, while waiting in an attraction.
But it's even more convenient
line
now, though, because you don't have to walk all the way to the back of Space Mountain's queue or whatever to get that.
No, I do think it is more convenient for those that don't want to spend the extra money on MaxPass. Again, remember, MaxPass, you do have PhotoPass,
yeah,
as well.
What I think they need to do, but they won't for whatever reason, is what I think they need to do, and we've had some people in our chat say the same thing, is I think that they need to go to the Disney World system and they need to do Magic Bands, and that would take care of a lot of stuff, because then you don't have to have the park ticket and the Magic Band. You know, you could tap to the thing or whatever. You don't have to have a smartphone necessarily with it. And I think that, like, and the other thing I wish they would do is, I wish, they're not going to, because again, they're making money on it, but I wish that they would just include MaxPass in the price of the ticket, and that's it. Like, it's not an additional thing, you know what I mean? I wish that, like FastPass was always a free park thing that, like, it's included in your ticket, and you get to enjoy all that stuff, as opposed to MaxPass, where you get, because in Disney World, you don't pay extra for using it on your phone. Why would you pay extra using it on your phone at Disneyland? Like, it just seems weird and kind of a weird cash grabby kind of thing. So I think that if they were to get rid of all of these kiosks, they're saving money on paper and all that stuff. If they just went to the MaxPass that, like, was included with the ticket. To get back on topic, to actually answer your question, I think that they'll gauge how popular it is, and they'll go with maybe a couple kiosks throughout the park that kind of cover lands in the area.
Okay, so you don't think that they'll be land specific?
Because I think it really depends, because some lands only have FastPass for one or two attractions, so why would you have a kiosk for one or two attractions? Because then it's like having its own thing. So, like, I could see having one kiosk, maybe like by Haunted Mansion, that covers Haunted Mansion, Pirates,
right,
Splash Mountain, mm-hmm, that kind of mm-hmm thing, and Indiana Jones maybe even, and then you'd have, you know, one back maybe by Toontown or something, especially with Runaway Railway coming. Maybe you'd have one for Runaway Railway and Cartoon Spin and like
Small World,
Matterhorn maybe could all kind of be back there, and then, or Matterhorn might even be up in the Tomorrowland one, depending.
But do you think they'll be, so do you think they'll be grouped, or do you think they'll just be spread out throughout the resort and you can get any fast pass on them?
I think they'll keep it local, otherwise it's not as great of a value to buy Max Pass.
Good point. I'm happy that they're doing this, because I think, because FastPass isn't going away, you know, even though a lot of people think that, you know, if we did away with it, the standby lines would be better. And wait times just would be better.
Yep.
Which, you know, and unfortunately, I think it's too ingrained. I don't think they're going to do away with it anytime soon, especially since we're building new attractions that have dedicated fast pass lines on them now, too. So it's not going away anytime soon. I do think this is nice because it was really interesting being there with my family because I had Max Pass with my AP, but then part of my family decided to splurge and get Max Pass, but then the other part of my family didn't. So it was very interesting trying to have the people that had Max Pass.
How did you work that
get
out?
Get their fast passes. It was just this kind of like song and dance that we had to do. Mm. So the family wasn't always together 100% of the time.
Sure.
So then we just kind of had, it was like extra planning ahead to be able to get those paper fast pass return tickets for the people in the group that decided not to go with Max Pass, which honestly, I think those people made the right decision because we didn't have to use that many fast passes.
Sure.
And the other thing too, is think of it. If you had a family of four and every day you had to spend $15 extra per person to be able to utilize Max
Pass. That's 60 extra bucks a day.
That adds up really quickly. So I'm glad that they're doing something better for those that don't want to spend and invest in Max Pass. I think that's really beneficial. And this just seems like it's going to be more convenient.
So here's the question for you then. Once they consolidate down from the kiosks, right, to to like a central kiosk, do you think they're going to get rid of free Fast Pass? Do you think everything goes paid? Because like
I don't think so.
Because like Universal Studios has like the front of the line pass that you have to pay extra for.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Because I think there's still a market for both. I think it's nice to have the Fast Pass kiosks there for those that don't want to pay extra for Max Pass. But Max Pass is still pretty convenient because you do get photo pass with it. You have the convenience of doing it anywhere. As soon as you walk in the front gate, you could get your first fast pass.
Sure.
So I think you do still have that convenience. Plus, with it being digital, they could make it more enticing if they wanted by somehow allowing maybe Max Pass users instead, you know, maybe they get access to more fast passes than people that are getting it from the kiosks. I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, maybe they could make it instead of having to wait 2 hours or whatever it is now between fast passes. Maybe it gets cut down to an hour or maybe you can hold two fast passes at the same time with the app versus doing the tickets. I don't know. I think there's a lot of room for them to make it more valuable if it does lose value for some and people start to not get Max Pass. I do think the biggest users for people that purchase Max Pass are probably annual pass holders.
Yeah.
Because really adding it, what is it, $100 to add to your annual passport, depending on how often you go, it's pretty inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Plus,
well, I just
think convenience factor.
I still think that it's a great value when you add the photo pass in with it.
Oh,
I think
definitely.
If you had to pay the $15 a day for Max Pass only, I don't think it'd be as worth it. I know there are listeners that really are about Max Pass and like they think it's worth anything. In fact, it was funny because before it went up to $15 a day and it was 10 when it first started. Remember there was that chat, they were in the chat and they were saying like, oh, they could charge more for this. And then of course they raised the price.
Yep. It's, you know, I think it's a great system if you stay on top of it and if you're a super planner. But if you just kind of like to go however the park's flowing for you that day, you're not going to be utilizing it as much. But then again, you're probably also not using fast passes that often. I think we did I liked how we use it. We kind of used it as a mix. We kind of did some pre-planning thinking, okay, we want to go over to DCA. Let's just check and see what the return times for fast passes are. And then we just kind of built our day out around that. And I think it worked out really nicely.
Well, yeah, when we went as a group in August, I think that we kind of did, because like that's what my argument was, right? Is I said, like, I don't like looking at Max Pass and like determining like, oh, now I have to go to this side of the park because like there's a shorter wait or like there's a fat, you know, whatever. Where we did kind of a hybrid of like using it and doing more of like a planning like I kind of like to do, where like you said, we had, when we were there, again, crowds were low. It was nice to be able to pick those couple attractions like the Matterhorn that always had a long wait. We were there because it was down to half the side. Mission Breakout, like Casper really enjoyed, where it also had a long line a lot of the time. So it was nice to be able to be like, yes, we want to do that. We can kind of make our way that way in the hour between now and when our Fast Pass comes up for it. So I don't know. I feel like the way that they have everything kind of mixed right now, when the crowds are lower, it doesn't really matter. right? Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, if you get some bigger crowds again, I think that they need to do something with their mix of Max Pass versus Fast Pass versus Standby. And honestly, I just kind of wonder if in the future, if we're going to be like a Max Pass, like, I wonder if Standby will ever go away. Because, like, we talked about that with Pirates.
I don't know if it ever will.
But we talked about that with Pirates, though, because they have such a limited queue space that if it was just Fast Pass return time, it would
be
better.
So sad about that, though. That would... No. Don't do it, Disney. Don't. Just don't. There's just something magical about standing... Like, I don't know. It's amazing. The few times that you do get to just walk on attractions, sure. It's amazing. But there's something about having to wait and kind of, like... being in the queue, kind of building
you and
that
I waited
story
in the queue
and just
for,
kind of getting into the mood for whatever attraction it is that you're waiting for.
Well, you and I waited for Millennium Falcon, and I liked that. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. it kind of moved, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's also a very, very well-themed queue. Yeah. Very, very well-themed queue. I feel like you can go through that one multiple times and still pick out things.
But it's so funny because I feel like somebody complained. I don't remember where I saw this, but I remember somebody complaining that they're like, it was a boring queue because it was just a bunch of crates and nothing really going on. I don't remember who it was. It might have been a comment that I saw on one of the articles we read or something.
That could be.
There was something like that.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's something to me about waiting in the line that kind of like builds the story for me and kind of like gets me in the like right thought process for what it is I'm about to go on.
Sure.
Like, could you imagine just like boom being on the Haunted Mansion elevator? I don't know. There's something about like going through and looking at all the gravestones and like looking at the mansion kind of looming over everything.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. You just kind of get into the like, just kind of get in the mood. Same thing with Indy. Could you imagine just getting on the Jeep?
Well, sometimes when the line is really short, when the queue's really short, it does feel like that. You
I
kind
know.
Of just walk through and
it
then you're like,
it makes me sad
and
that I missed everything.
It.
Yeah. See,
well, Pirates
I
is like that
it.
Too. Because even
I
that
like
little bit
there,
of indoor queue.
Yep, I like sitting there watching the little parrot on
like
the little
the
shovel.
Smell.
Mm-hmm, the smell. Watching all the people's faces as they're kind of finishing their journey. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something. I couldn't imagine just doing fast passes and kind of skipping on the wait. Obviously, you still have to wait when you have a fast pass. It's not like you're
right.
Boom right there. But yeah, there's something about that. The other thing too that I'm curious about, and I can't really tell from the photos that I have seen online, but I'm wondering how many of these paperless FastPass distribution systems or kiosks there are in this bank that they're testing.
It looks like 3.
I know. So I'm a little concerned about that because that doesn't seem like there's that many considering these are now consolidating down from, well, just for numbers sake, mm-hmm. we'll say that there was 6 for Space Mountain, and then there was also 6 for
sure.
Star Tours / Astro Blasters.
But again, they have
so
numbers, so I'm
12.
Wondering if most people
That's
are
true.
Doing MaxPass now.
That's true. So say there were 12 physical kiosks, and now it's down
to
3. I'm a little worried about.
I also
if
wonder how fast these kiosks
this.
Will be, because if they're fast, like you can just zip, like zip. I was impressed when we went back the FastPass return and we used MaxPass that I could just bling like it
that
scanned
nice.
Good because sometimes there's those scanners like I mean okay even totally not even at the theme park but even like your self checkout right sometimes you're like read the stupid barcode and it mm-hmm, won't read mm-hmm. So I was really impressed that like literally as fast as I could do this swipe do it again like
yeah as fast as you put it
yeah.
under the scanner and
yeah.
reading it yeah it's pretty impressive really
so I'm
impressive.
Wondering if these will be like that too or if like maybe on these kiosks one of the things that'll help with time because with the old machines you'd put your park ticket in you'd wait it printed out then you'd put your park yeah. ticket in print it out I'm wondering if the first time you use these if you can create a group
that'd be nice
kind
that's
of like
the
you
other,
can MaxPass.
I was gonna say that's the other really nice thing about MaxPass is the fact that you can create a group and you can you it's like 2 clicks to get everybody in your party
yeah.
of 6
yeah.
a fast pass instead of having to do it 6 individual mm-hmm. times. Because then you also, I'm always worried whenever I do the paper ones, which I shouldn't be because it's not that big of a deal. I'm worried that we're not going to get the same return times, which
oh.
is silly because
it
even
be
if
off
it's
by like a
5 minutes off, you're still within the same hour of
yeah.
each other. So it's fine. But mm-hmm. it's just this weird, weird worry I have. But I don't know. I think this is a good, I'm excited about this. I think this is a good thing. I think this is great for those that don't want to spend the extra money on MaxPass, which I totally get because it can get expensive really quick for a family, especially if you're there multiple days.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, you know, depending on the day, MaxPass might not really be worth it, depending on what the wait times are and all that. But it's hard to know. So I like this option. I think it's a good option.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how it works. I'm interested to see some videos or some hear about some experiences of our listeners who use these kiosks mm-hmm. and how the flow goes. How many people are there trying to use them all at the same time? And when they're doing this test, did they close the other ones?
I would think they'd have to.
You'd think that they'd have to too, but I'm just curious if like they're kind of, they're little, with a system like this that they're not totally sure about, you know, because then if they crash, then you got to open the, you know, or something.
Oh, sure. I see what you're saying.
So, but I don't know. I'm optimistic. I do think it is good because I think like we talked about earlier, I think it's good that they are reclaiming some of this space because we just spent a lot of time mm-hmm, reclaiming space mm-hmm, in the park.
Mm-hmm. And we were reclaiming a lot less space than really what these are going to be freeing up. And I realize that you cannot fit an attraction in the space that these kiosks were. I understand that. But it's at least, you know, maybe a little quiet area. Not that, I mean, I feel like we just redid a lot of stroller parking. I don't think these will be stroller parking areas. I think they'll be either like benches or maybe, yeah, merchandise or churro carts because, of course, we need more churro carts.
Like I was mentioning earlier that I said we would come back to and you just reminded me, in Space Mountain there with that new staircase and stuff, are they going to expand or do something? Because in that area, if you don't have the entrance there too and you do something with Pizza Port, that is a huge area.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do a totally different thing there. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen there.
Plus you have the theater right there too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of potential, lot of potential right there.
And then what are they going to do in California Adventure? Because they're going to have to do these things over there too if it's successful at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Not that they need to free up a lot of space over there, but
I don't know. I think it's a move in the right direction is what I think. It's updating it without completely negating MaxPass.
What do you guys think? Let us know on social media or feedback at dlweekly.net. Let us know, what do you think about this whole FastPass thing? Do you like how the system is now? Do you not like it? Do you like the idea of what this is going to do? Answer maybe Teresa's question. Do you think that they're just going to have, they're going to have them in each land, or they're going to have little things, or do you think it's going to be something totally different? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, if you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some fun Deal Weekly swag, head on over to dealweekly.net/store to pick some up.
And if you want our limited edition Haunted Mansion Halloween kind of version logo, it's going to be going away for Halloween, so get it now. Well, did you enjoy listening to this week's episode of DL Weekly? Well, you can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to the supporter chat that we always talk about, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like Josh S. and head over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, now it's time to return to James over in Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia.
Yeah, you guys started off pretty well this week. Let's see. If you feel confident as you keep going. So our first question.
I'm sorry.
You did. Our first question comes from Tara F., and she asked, what DreamWorks movie includes a pretty clear parody of the It's a Small World song? And Teresa definitely got that one right away with Shrek. If we were a video, you would have loved to see that aha moment on her face. Question number two came from Brittany R. Under the Disneyland castle, there's a container with Disneyland memories, messages, and milestones. What is it officially called, according to the plaque? And you were both correct that it is the 40th anniversary Time Castle, not Time Capsule.
So clever.
I know.
When's it going to be opened? Do you have that info?
I do, actually. It will open on the 80th anniversary, which is July 17th, 2035.
So close.
15 years from now. I'll be in my 50s.
Yeah, you're going to be real old. Third question is from Megan E., and she said, what is the phone number for the cabs in Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue? You're right that it did indeed end with a word, but it's not roar. It's Fang. 555-FANG.
What was the hint?
Dang.
There's a word in the number.
No.
So figured that one wasn't going to help.
Roar would be good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, roar would have been a good one, so... Must have been taken by another company.
Must have.
So, and our last
That's
question.
The competitor's number.
Maybe it goes straight to the scream floor. All right. And our fourth question and last one from Sarah M. On Pirates of the Caribbean, where is the banjo music coming from? And it's a trick question. It's coming from inside the cabin. Memories have been created by many people that the guy is playing a banjo. There's no banjo.
Oh, you're right. There isn't a banjo. He's just rocking on his chair.
Full on misconception.
100%. You are right.
Oh.
But here's a picture of him.
Like
he clearly doesn't have a banjo.
That's hilarious. hilarious.
Sarah sent a picture to prove it, and she was exactly right with how that would stump you with that misconception.
Good one.
So
great questions, you guys. Thank you.
A great mix of possible to get right and good stumpers. I'd love to keep doing these again every week from you. You can send me an email. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
See, you don't notice there's a banjo because it's so dark over there.
Time to petition for that porch light.
He could have a jar of fireflies. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.